Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
When you hear the term vocation, you usually think job. And when you think job, you usually think more or less adult, right? You don't think children. You don't think little children. You don't think babies. But does the doctrine of Christian vocation, so clearly put together in Holy Scripture, does it include children? Does it include children from conception? Now, if it does, we're really going to have to rethink our idea, our popular idea of what vocation is. So let's spend the next 10 minutes doing that. We're going to talk about the vocation of children. Joining us to do so, Deaconess Mary Murby. She's a married mother of four children in Blackwell, Oklahoma. She's co-author of the book Family Vocation, and she's author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for February, How Can I Help God's Calling for Children? Deaconess Murby, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you for having me.
When we hear the word vocation, we usually think of, number one, adults, and number two, some kind of a formal job or employment or something like that. How do we need to adjust our view of Christian vocation to include children?
Well, the term vocation literally means calling, and we have all been called to faith in the gospel by the Holy Spirit. And of course, as a church that baptizes and recognizes the faith of children, it only makes sense that we recognize they too have callings because they have faith.
What does baptism do with respect to kind of initially defining a vocation that even a little child could have?
Well, our essential calling as Christians is to trust God and to listen to His Word, to receive His gifts. But of course, out of that naturally flows that we share those gifts. As children receive God's gifts of faith and all of His other gifts, children also do share them, of course, in age-appropriate ways. But it's a beautiful thing to think about how in baptism we are made children of God. All of us are children of God, and the ways that we share His gifts from that vary from day to day, and certainly vary from age to age, but we are all children of God.
You, in the book, you talk about how at least in the introduction of the book, it's mentioned that the child's world is a lot smaller than an adult's world, but that doesn't mean that they lack some kind of vocation. How would you describe a child's world and the vocations that God gives them within that?
Well, as children, their primary relationship outside of baptism is, of course, with their parents. They are learning to live under authority. They are learning to receive. But they also interact with their brothers and sisters. They're also learning and being educated, not necessarily formally, but every day, even through play, they are learning things that will impact how they interact and serve society and the other authorities, you know, employers and teachers that will come into their lives. It's very foundational what they're learning at their age.
You said they're learning to receive. Does that mean that even in the simplest sense, from the moment of birth, they are in a vocation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Children from conception are allowing their parents to be parents. And maybe that sounds funny, but a woman can only serve a child with her body if there is that child to serve. A child from conception is an opportunity to love.
So let's talk about some of the things that we wouldn't ordinarily associate with Christian vocation, but we ought to when it comes to even the smallest children. How would you describe their vocations? Say, you've got kids of your own, say a four-year-old kid. How would you describe the vocations that your children have?
Well, I do have a four-year-old. She is teaching me to see the world in a different way. She helps me to see simply as I communicate with her, and she already is helping her little sister and little brother. She wants to interact with others. She wants to do things. She wants to take care of our dog. God has really blessed most children with desires to love and serve. And of course, how she can love and serve depends on what opportunities we give her. So she loves and serves her parents, mostly by helping us and obeying us, also teaching us the value of patience, because she certainly does have limitations, but God works even through those limitations in the family to strengthen us and to keep us mindful that God will provide in his own time and in his own way.
You mentioned several times here obedience, which is the subject of the fourth commandment. It really heads the second table of the Ten Commandments there and kind of defines a lot of what follows in the Ten Commandments. And you spoke also earlier about all of this for the children, their vocations being foundational for the rest of life. Talk more about that, if you would.
Well, as they learn to obey, they can think about it as, I have to obey and I hate this, in which case they may have, you know, additional issues with authority for the rest of their lives. Or we can encourage them that obedience is not slavery, but that obedience is something that does come from the heart and isn't only external, and that obedience is helpful. Obedience is part of a larger system that God works through in this world. And as they love and serve their brothers and sisters, they're learning about how to interact when relationships are not based on authority, but on working together or taking turns and compromising or building up off of one person's skills to help another who may not be developed in that way yet.
So it sounds like one of the things that children are learning in their particular vocations within the family is they're learning about the vocation of mother and father, and perhaps a little later even of husband and wife.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Does that form the basis, Mary, for them understanding all other authorities that they will encounter in their life? At first, in the kind of the isolated life of the family, it is mom and dad. But then there are going to be, I think as Luther talks about, surrogates for mom and dad. Who would those be?
Well, gradually, of course, they're introduced to more and more teachers and principals and people in all sorts of different vocations, whether it's getting the trash to the curb in time for the trash collection. And as they're exposed to more, I think they respect more. They have more to be thankful for and more people to be thankful for that they may not recognize within the confines of their home. And yet their parents also go out into this broader world and are introducing their children to all of the different foods at the grocery store and the farmers, the processors, the truck drivers, the clerks who sell it. I mean, vocation is everywhere. Parents introduce the children to these different areas of life, but children, of course, will experience it themselves in increasing amounts.
You just mentioned there, Mary, pastors, which I'm just so gratified to see that at the end of this children's book, How Can I Help?, there is a picture of children coming out of church and seeing their pastor. Talk about that vocation, how important it is for children from the very earliest years to know what that is, what that vocation is for them.
Well, in society today, it's so easy to think that church is about 1 hour a week, maybe plus a Bible study or Sunday school, but your pastor is there for you as an extension of your family. The church is family. Something that my father and I often bring up is that fatherhood is not only on this earth, of course, but it is the fatherhood of God that is resembled on earth. It is the sonship of God that we begin to learn what childhood really is, not only being young, but being a child of God, being a child of your parents, and being a child of the church. And pastors are so important in providing leadership, in providing teaching, in administering God's gifts. Pastors are so important for children.
You start by saying that God is the greatest helper of all. Why do you begin there with God as greatest helper?
Well, to be honest, I did an internship in Latvia when I was pursuing deaconess study, and I met a missionary there who was no longer Lutheran but had been raised Lutheran. He was there as a mercy missionary. He would give money to soup kitchens and go and talk to people. He was not ordained or educated. And he actually told me he was doing it to help God. And I thought that was so sad. There are so many truths of Scripture that sometimes are so obvious we don't even say it. But I think with children, let's say it and affirm it, that God does not need our help, but instead gives us so abundantly, provides for all of our needs, and allows us to share those with one another.
Finally then, Mary, I'm still a child of my parents. I always will be. That's just the way it is, even though I'm grown up with kids of my own and an adult, I hope, in every sense of the word. does that child vocation, that basic thing that we are conceived and born into, does that remain for life, and how does it change?
It does remain for life. In fact, it remains into eternity. Jesus is eternally Son of the Father, and he is Mary's Son. And this is an exceedingly wonderful gift. Now, in heaven, we won't be caring for aging parents, although I encourage us to do that in this life. We won't be needing to be obedient, and I don't know that they'll need help per se, but we get to love and serve our neighbor, and that's not something that's a result of the fall, but that is one of the gifts from perfection that God gave us in the Garden of Eden, that we can love and serve our neighbor.
Deaconess Mary Murby is a married mother of four children in Blackwell, Oklahoma. She's co-author of the book Family Vocation and author of the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month. For February, How Can I Help? God's Calling for Children. You can find out more about this great kids book at our website, issuesetc.org. You can browse before you buy right there, or call Concordia Publishing House and order How Can I Help? God's Calling for Children. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Mary, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
When we come back, Bishop Keith Ackerman will join us. We'll get his response to Bishop John Shelby Spong's thoughts on the Episcopal Church. Christ at the Center, the Justification of the Ungodly, a Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, the Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Check out the updated showroom at Vallo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville. Vallo's offers free in-home measurement, interior design consultation, and experienced installation. Celebrating 50 years of trusted experience. Vallo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618 656-7788 or valofloor.com.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.